a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good. South Dakota House of Representatives will now come to order. Leading us in prayer today will be Pastor Howard Grenager from the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Leading our pledge today will be Pages Kyle Kozman of Scotland, Samantha Newman of Baltic, Meredith Powers of Brookings, and Danae Schaefers from Huron.
Let us pray. Holy God, as we come to this day, fresh from celebrating the life of Bill Janklo, and on a day when we will remember others who served in this place, we come knowing how fragile and short life can be. And so in that awareness, we ask that you help us appreciate the preciousness of these days together. Help us to use them in ways that will bless the lives of the people that we serve. And so we ask that you would grant us a vision of how we might live together. Give us the wisdom we need as we propose laws and debate issues. Guide our conversations so that we might speak in ways that bless and build up instead of tear down and destroy. Grant us gifts of courage when it comes time to act. We pray this day not only for ourselves, but for our governor and for all those who in our state and nation have been given the responsibility and privilege of governing the people of our nation. We ask that you would watch over those who serve our nation in uniform and especially those who serve in places of combat. Keep them safe, and we pray that you might bring the fruit of peace out of their sacrifices. All these and the many more prayers of our hearts we lift to you in your holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Clerk, will please call the roll.
Abdallah, Blake, Bolin, Boomgarden, Bruner, Carson, Konzik, Cronin, Dielstra, Dennard, Dryden, Elliott, Fargin, Feichert, Feinstein, Gibson, Gosch, Greenfield, Hager, Hanson, Hawley, Hickey, Hoffman, Hubble, Hunhoff, Iron, Hunt, Ironcloud, Jensen, Jones, Keller, Kirkaby, Kirschman, Klochek, Kopp, Liss, Lucas, Lust, Magnusstad, Miller, Mosier, Munsterman, Nelson, Norstrup, Olson, Perry, Romkema, Rosen, Russell, Schaefer, Schramm, Scott, Sigdesad, Sly, Solem, Steele, Street, Strickers, Tarno, Telson, Turbeville, Van Gerpen, Bannerman, Benner, Wirt, Vercio, White, Wick, Wilson, Wink, Wismer, Speaker Rausch.
Here.
Mr. Speaker, a quorum is present.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Chief Clerk of the House has had under consideration the House Journal of the fourth day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction, and we hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Val Rausch, Chair.
All those in favor of approval of the journal signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Journal is approved. If you'd be at ease for one moment, I have a couple of employees that would like to take their oath of office. Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Personal privilege, please.
Granted.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, my first year of serving as an appointee of Governor Rounds, I got to meet a fellow representative who became somewhat of a mentor and a good friend of mine. And sometimes after a vote, he would come down that aisle to my desk and say, "Now, what were you thinking on that vote?" Well, he's here today in the back of the room. House of Representatives, please help me welcome back former Representative Tom Hackle.
Welcome back, Representative Hackle. Also, I have a note here for the doctors of the day. Are they here? The doctors of the day? Anybody see them? Well, in case they can't get here in time, it would be Dr. Mary Morris and Dr. David Sandvig. Dr. Mary is the first fellow of the Geriatric Fellowship, and Dr. David is the program director for the Geriatric Fellowship, first year of the fellowship. So thank you for your service. Let's give them a welcome. If somebody sees them come in, please point them out, and we'll do that again when they are here. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, the Committee on Judiciary respectfully reports that House Bills 1014, 1022, 1023, 1025, and 1039 do pass, and House Bill 1021 do pass as amended. Roger W. Hunt, Chair. The Committee on Agriculture and Natural Resources respectfully reports that House Bills 1003, 1011, and 1013 do pass, and House Bill 1012 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Kim Bannerman, Chair. The Committee on Taxation respectfully reports that House Bill 1001 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1002 is deferred to the 41st legislative day. Mark K. Willitson, Chair. And the Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that House Bill 1019 and 1032 do pass and be placed on the consent calendar, and House Bill 1031 do pass as amended. Mike Vercio, Chair.
Consideration of committee reports.
Representative Lusk moves the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules for the 87th legislative session as found on pages 42 and 43 of the House Journal be adopted.
Second. The Lusk motion has been moved and second. Is up for consideration. Are there any remarks? Representative Gibson.
I have a motion at the desk.
Has that been distributed?
It has, Mr. Speaker.
Do you wish to move it at this time?
I do.
Is there a second?
Second.
The Gibson motion has been moved and seconded. Does everybody have a copy of that motion?
No.
It should have been distributed. Who does not have a copy? Couple hands. Would any member like that motion read?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Please.
Representative Gibson.
Please.
Representative Gibson moved that the Joint Select Committee report on joint rules not be adopted and a new Joint Select Committee be appointed with instructions to consider the following. 6C-8, in addition to regular fiscal notes, local government fiscal notes, and retirement system actuarial statements, there is an additional specialized fiscal note known as the litigation exposure assessment. Any bill that contains a justiciable issue is subject to a request for a litigation exposure assessment, which may be requested and granted in the same manner as a regular fiscal note. Whenever a litigation exposure assessment is granted, the presiding officer shall request the director of the Legislative Research Council to prepare the litigation exposure assessment in consultation with the Office of the Attorney General. Each litigation exposure assessment shall contain an analysis of the practical likelihood that the bill may be litigated, an assessment of the most probable evolution of the course of the potential litigation, and a range of projected costs based on the assessment of the most probable evolution. No litigation exposure assessment may express any opinion as to whether the bill is constitutional or unconstitutional, or whether the bill is legal or illegal. Otherwise, each litigation exposure assessment is subject to all of the terms, conditions, and time restraints specified in Joint Rule 6C-1 through 6C-5 inclusive, to the extent that such rules are not in conflict with this rule.
Representative Gibson, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. Yes, it is true that we heard some good points in committee regarding a similar rule. However, I see this as an improved rule that will serve the test of time regarding litigation exposure assessment. Fiscal notes have proven their worth over the past 5 decades by providing useful and authoritative information about the fiscal impact of certain legislation. Over the years, new types of fiscal notes have been created, such as local government fiscal notes and retirement system actuarial statements, to meet the need for more fiscal impact information to help legislators make good decisions. In recent decades, the legislature has enacted a number of important pieces of legislation which have exposed the state to millions of dollars of litigation expenses. Therefore, I would ask for your approval of this bill.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To give you a little background on this, I came up with this idea when I ran into a friend who I knew was a teacher. She'd been a teacher for many years, and she was waiting on me in a restaurant. And I said, gee, I didn't realize you'd changed vocations. And she said that she hadn't. But she's a single mom, and she has 3 kids. And this past year, one of her kids had some serious health concerns. And so due to the fact that they hadn't gotten any appreciable raises in the last 3 years, and with additional costs, she found that she couldn't make it. Shortly after that conversation, I saw an article in the Argus Leader that came from the Rapid City Journal stating that the legal fees in 2012 will be about $1.2 million. I was curious about that, and as I read the article, it talked about defending legislation that will come from the Extraordinary Litigation Fund, which pays for litigation that's over and above what the Attorney General's office is already paying. And they're expecting costs to be about $1.225 million this year. So I made some calls because I was wondering if that was something we did regularly or if that was unique, and got some information from the Attorney General's office and found that over the past 5 years, we have spent $4.579 million in the Extraordinary Litigation Fund. This is money over and above. I feel like we run a pretty tight ship in South Dakota. Our budget is pretty fiscally prudent. Here was a mom that was working, taking on a second job to be able to pay her bills, because we couldn't do anything for her. I asked for some subject areas. What are we paying for litigation over? And they gave me a list. I just picked out 10 different areas, everything from the Department of Corrections land purchase, redistricting, the smoking ban, constitutionality of school busing laws, zoning laws, legislation regarding the retirement system. And there are ongoing cases. Some of these cases can go on for years and years. We just finished, not too long ago, the Lone Tree settlement that went on for nearly 18 years in our state and cost $8 million alone. I feel like if we are asking our citizens to be prudent and pull in their belts and watch what they spend, we need to do the same thing. This law would help us do that. This rule change would help us do that. It doesn't prohibit any legislation from happening. People can still propose legislation. What it does is it gives us an idea, it gives us some information as to whether or not that legislation may have consequences. So it makes us better legislators, and we still may vote for those laws, but this gives us more information to do that. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks on the Gibson motion?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hahn.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the body, I think that we would all agree 100% that we need to strive to ensure that the state of South Dakota collects the lowest amount of taxes from its people. And I think we often recognize the fact that of all the 50 states, South Dakota is already in that position in the sense that we are one of the least taxed states in the entire United States. So we certainly share and commiserate basically with the taxpayers that have been referenced here today. But I wish to draw your attention to the fact that there virtually is no need for this amendment to our current rules. And I would simply point out, if you look at your red books, on page 121 or thereabouts, you'll see Rule 6C-1, and it's entitled Bills and Resolutions That Require Fiscal Notes. And it reads as follows: any bill or resolution pre-filed or introduced which has an effect on the revenues, the expenditures, or the fiscal liability of the state shall include a fiscal note incorporating an estimate of such effect. We already have in that one sentence about as broad a rule as you can have, that whenever there is going to be a piece of legislation that is going to expend funds, create revenues, etc., we have the means of having a fiscal statement requested and used in the debate on that particular piece of legislation. I therefore submit that all this rule would do would be to pick up one type of expense, namely litigation, which is already, in my opinion, included in 6C-1 in the word, basically, expenditures. One of the difficulties, and we all recognize this because at one point in time, most of us have been involved in asking for fiscal notes. One of the problems is, how do you determine what the cost of that particular bill is? And in particular, how do you determine the cost of litigation? Are we talking of litigation that settles in a negotiated settlement? Are we talking of litigation that goes to trial? Are we talking of litigation that goes all the way to the South Dakota Supreme Court and then possibly back to the trial level for another trial? It's extremely difficult to put any sort of a dollar figure on, quote, litigation. Some lawyers charge more per others than ours. Some may do something pro bono. When we talk in terms of drafting a rule to Section 6, Fiscal Notes and Actuarial Statements, and we're asking LRC to get that information for us, we're asking them for virtually an impossible task. I know that right now we have litigation going on. There was a hearing a week ago. And because of that en banc hearing in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals in St. Louis, it's quite likely that the plaintiffs in that case are not going to be entitled to any attorney's fees because they're not winning on any of the issues. And if you don't win on an issue, if you're a plaintiff against the state of South Dakota, you're not going to get paid attorney's fees. I respectfully request that you defeat this proposed rule change because we already have it in rules and we don't need to have one particular expenditure defined. Otherwise, we might as well start getting out the laundry list and define every type of expenditure that this state or every piece of revenue this state might be engaged in. I encourage you to defeat this motion to amend.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Lust.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the sponsor of the amendment.
Please state your question.
My question is, in the second line of the proposed amendment, it says, any bill that contains a justiciable issue is subject to request for litigation, etc. Is there any bill that would not contain a justiciable issue, since we are dealing with language and statutes that are inherently subject to interpretation and litigation?
Representative Gibson, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. That just further defines that if it is judiciable issue, that we're going to get the assessment.
Representative Lust, you still have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd associate my remarks with the speaker from Sioux Falls and further would state that I think this amendment would cover every single bill we consider. Every single bill we consider is subject to interpretation and thereby subject to litigation and is therefore justiciable. So what we would be doing is saying that every single bill we have before us is subject to this procedure. And if you read further down, it talks about assessment of the most probable evolution of litigation. No lawyer can tell you what may or may not happen to in litigation because it's inherently dependent upon the opposing side. If you had a window into what the other side may or may not do regarding appeals or challenges, you may then be able to get an accurate assessment. Absent that, which is the case all the time, you can't give any sort of reasoned assessment of what will happen to a piece of litigation. I understand the intention of this amendment, and I appreciate it. But in addition to it already being addressed in our rules, this format in which this amendment comes to us is unworkable. It's not going to accomplish anything. And moreover, we have the ability right now to request of the Attorney General his analysis and opinion on what could happen to a particular piece of legislation through litigation. Nothing prohibits any of us from inquiring with the Attorney General on his opinion in that regard. So I think this, while well-intentioned, accomplishes nothing, and it's something, the goal of which we can already achieve outside of our rules by just personal inquiry and within our rules, as was pointed out by a previous speaker. So for that reason, I think this is not an appropriate approach and would urge your opposition to it. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Hanhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, as I listened to our friends from Rapid City and from Brandon explain their opposition to this simple rule, I'm kind of reminded of a fellow you all know very well, Mel Olson. He served in this legislature, a teacher from Mitchell. And whenever he was confused, and they've confused me because they're saying on one hand they say we don't need it because it's already there, and on the other hand they're saying it's impossible to do. We don't need it. It's impossible to do. It's confusing me. Mel Olson liked to say, when he was confused by bills, as we often all are in this body, Mel would say, I kind of feel like a dog named Stay. He said to my master, saying, come stay, and the poor dog doesn't know what to do. That's what's happening here. We're hearing one thing. We don't need to do it. It's already in rule. And on the other hand, we're saying there's no way to do it. I mean, which is it? You can't have it both ways. This is a, you know, this legislature, I think one of the best things it's done in recent years has been to embrace open government in a bipartisan way. Open government, good information, making good decisions. That's what this legislature is, has been more all about in the last couple of years than maybe in a century. And that's all this is trying to get good information so we can make good decisions. And it has nothing to do with ideology. I'd be disappointed if it falls down on party line, because this is nothing about ideology, about party, about conservative or liberal or any of that stuff. It's just about having the decent information that you want to have as you make decisions. Our attorney friends tell us that it's too hard to put a figure on attorney fees. I can't imagine anybody in this body would go see an attorney in their private lives and talk about some kind of a case, a legal case, and not ask the question, what's this going to cost me? Now, I know they're not going to tell you down to the dollar and cents, and there are going to be all sorts of variables, but at least they'll give you some kind of an idea of what you might be facing. And if they didn't, I think you'd walk right out the door. It's just the way we operate. Today in taxation, we had a bill to tax collectible coins. And we argued about that back and forth for the biggest bill, I guess, we had to date in committee action. How much will that raise? $30,000. You know, I can't say nickels and dimes because it's $30,000, but it's nickels and dimes compared to our $4 billion budget. And here we're talking about spending $1 million a year or more over the last 4 or 5 years on attorney fees to defend bills that we didn't have good information on as we passed them. All we're saying is that when these bills come along, let's have decent information. Is this going to cost us $500,000, $100,000, $1 million? What's it going to cost us? This is not asking too much. You can't have it both ways. They can provide a decent range, especially with the experience we've had in passing unconstitutional bills in this body. I mean, we've done it enough now that I think the Attorney General and LRC can give us some decent information. So I see nothing political about this rule. It's a simple rule. If we support the motion, and the Joint Committee will meet again, we can adopt this rule in Joint Committee and bring it back to the floor, and we'll have an improved situation. Fiscal. The argument was also made that that we can't cover everything in a fiscal note, or that we can't specify all the different costs that might show up in a fiscal note. Well, that's really true, but there aren't too many things in all the 600 bills that we're going to consider. Not all that many of them even apply for a fiscal note. I mean, many of the argument was made earlier that we'll be asking about this on every bill, that every bill could be considered constitutional or unconstitutional. Every bill could also be considered on a fiscal basis of whether it should have a fiscal note. Very, very few bills in this body ever come down with a request for a fiscal note. Far fewer will come down with a request for a fiscal note based on constitutionality. This is a good rule. It'll open up government, give us better information so we can make better decisions. So I urge support of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Abdallah. Please state your question.
Representative, in your opinion, would this be helpful to non-attorney legislators to be alerted to the fact that the legislation under consideration would expose the state to significant or likelihood of that the statute will be challenged in court?
Representative Gibson, would you like to answer that question?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for that question. Our good representative from Sioux Falls, it will give the non-lawyer attorney legislators much more viable information to make good decisions on bills that may or may not be challenged in the courts. And yes, that's why I'm bringing this issue forward. Thank you.
Representative Dalla, you still have the floor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Hearing none. So voice vote. The question before the House is Representative Gibson's motion to not adopt and to reappoint.
Move request. Roll call.
Roll call has been requested. Is he supported? is supported. All those in favor of the Gibson motion will vote A. Those against will vote nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 17, nays 47, excused 6.
The Gibson motion, having failed to receive majority of the votes, hereby declared lost. Brings us back to the question, Representative Lust's motion to adopt the Select Committee report and adopt the joint rules. Any further discussion? Hearing none, this is a roll call vote. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 16, nays 4, excused 6.
The last motion having received majority of the vote, the members elect hereby declared passed.
Representative Lust moves that the temporary House rules of the 86th legislative session be made the permanent House rules of the 87th legislative session.
All those in favor of the Lust motion signify by saying aye.
Huh?
Oh, roll call vote. I'm sorry. That motion has been moved and seconded. Are there any remarks? Hearing none, all those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote. Did the doctor of the day happen to come to the chamber? In the back, very good. Dr. Mary Morris, Dr. David Sandvig, welcome. And again, that was Dr. Mary is the first fellow of the Geriatric Fellowship. Dr. David is the program director, Geriatric Fellowship, first year of the fellowship. Welcome. Thank you for your service.
Representatives Holly, Jones, and Torno. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64, excused 6.
Lust motion having received majority vote of the members elect, hereby declared passed. Ladies and gentlemen in the audience and those listening at home, we are now going to have the first reading of House bills. We are required by our Constitution to read the title of these bills in open forum. You, on the other hand, at your leisure, can at any time go online and find these bills and read them in their entirety. The gals will be reading the title simultaneously, so it will sound like they are speaking over each other. But we will now have the first reading of House bills. Speaker appoints House Bill 1060, 61, 62, 63, 4, and 5 to Judiciary, 1066 to Local Government, 1067, 8, and 1069 to Judiciary, 1070 to Ag, 1071 to Commerce, 1072 and 1073 to State Affairs, HGR 1002 to State Affairs, HGR 1003 to Judiciary. Ladies and gentlemen, we're now going to go to our consent calendar items. These bills have gone through committee work and have had no opposition to them. They've sent them down to the floor recommending that we do not debate these bills, but merely can ask questions on the bills and then vote them up or down. Any member here can at any time pull a bill off of this consent calendar for debate, but they are certainly welcome to ask questions at this time. Debate calendar, second reading, consent calendar.
House Bill 1016, an act to repeal certain rules relating to the use of the Centennial logo. House Bill 1024, an act to repeal the authorization to sell certain surplus real estate under the control of the Department of Corrections in Aurora County and Minnehaha County.
House Bills 1016, 1024, having had their second reading, are up for consideration. Are there any questions? Hearing none, the question before the House is approval of the consent calendar. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Representatives Magstad, Street, and Torno. Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
The clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 64.
Consent items having received majority vote of members elect are hereby declared passed. Are there any questions with the titles? Hearing none, titles are deemed correct. Second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1048, an act to expand the Board of Military Affairs.
House Bill 1048, having had its second reading, is up for consideration and final passage. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Turbeville.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, members of the House. I have with me today House Bill 1048, a very simple and easily understood bill. It consists of three lines, one sentence. We have changed two words. It has to do with the Department of Military Affairs. What we are doing with this bill would be to increase the membership of the Military Affairs Board from 5 to 7. And I'll give you some very brief background information on this. The Board of Military Affairs has been in existence for many years. Its primary statutory authority has to do with the construction, enlargement, conversion, and equipping of armories and facilities used by the South Dakota National Guard. There are currently 29 armories located in 28 communities throughout South Dakota. Many of these armories are becoming obsolete. We have 14 armories that are over 40 years old and 10 that are more than 50 years old. Securing federal funding to update and or replace these facilities has gotten more and more difficult. The National Guard will lose 258 part-time guard positions on September 30th of 2012, and we could face additional cuts during the fiscal year 2013. Based on these factors, the South Dakota Army National Guard has begun a comprehensive analysis of unit stationing, full-time manning, and force structure allocation. Army Guard leaders will make recommendations to the Adjutant General in late February, and he will inform the Governor and State Board of Military Affairs in mid-March about the recommended changes. By increasing the number of members on the Board of Military Affairs, we hope to enhance the input provided from citizens across South Dakota as difficult decisions are made in the future regarding the stationing of our Guard units. The annual cost of expanding the board by two members is estimated to be $1,352, which is well within their budget. All we are doing is we are anticipating the potential closing of armories across the state of South Dakota is to provide more input so that more regions are available to work with the South Dakota National Guard. And with that, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, I conclude my presentation. I want to thank you for your time and attention, and I would certainly ask for your support. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative. Further remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Abdallah.
I thought it was going to be brief.
Any further pertinent remarks? Hearing none, the question before the House is final consideration of House Bill 1048. All those in favor will vote yea. Those opposed, nay. The clerk will unlock the voting machine. Members shall proceed to vote.
Mr. Speaker, all members present have voted.
Clerk will please display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 61, nays 3.
House Bill 1048, having received majority of vote of the members' elects, hereby declared passed. Any questions on the title? Hearing none, title is deemed correct. Messages.
Mr. Speaker, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the Senate has adopted the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to the joint rules for the 87th legislative session. Respectfully, Fee Jacobson, Secretary.
Announcements. Representative Musterman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just want to announce that there will be a special presentation by Dr. Zena Wicks from Brookings. He's a retired professor, a corn grower, researcher, and we've had a lot of great, interesting conversations over the last 10 years, served with him on the Brookings City Council, and the conversations have been involved around how do we create better citizens in the state of South Dakota. He and a group of folks have developed what's called South Dakota First, and it's an interesting discussion. Love to have you attend after the memorial in room 414. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks?
Speaker.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Reminder, the Judiciary Committee will be meeting tomorrow in 413 at 10 o'clock. We have six bills, several of which involve our National Guard. We'll see you there in the morning. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks? Representative Rompkema.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a friendly reminder of the Abate event tonight at the American Legion from 7 to 9. All you motorcycle fans and wannabes will certainly want to be there for an enlightening evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Further remarks, further announcements? Representative Cronin.
House State Affairs, 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
8 o'clock State Affairs. Representative Solem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be no House Commerce and Energy meeting tomorrow. We will go to work on Monday. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Bruner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Education, 7:45 a.m.
Bright and early. Further remarks? Representative Wick.
Yes, tomorrow morning at 8:25, the budget hearings will continue with the Department of Human Services coming before us. Thank you.
Further announcements? Speaker has one. Again, remember the memorial service will start at 3 o'clock, so in about 12 minutes. And also, I'm asked to announce that you are all invited to the reception that will be hosted by the Capitol Club in the Speaker's Lobby on behalf of the families of the for the memorial service. So please attend that as well. Any further announcements? Hearing none. Representative Turbeville.
Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor of adjournment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. We are adjourned.